as we continue down this highway of life and consider some of the signs, highway signs, that can be used to reflect biblical concepts, we consider today some information which would be completely unknown to us were it not divinely revealed. Some information which we need to hear over and over again. For without an ongoing repetition of this concept and principle, even Christians can slip back into a misconception from which we were rescued. Case in point, the congregations in the region known as Galatia. Those young congregations centuries ago consisted primarily of Gentiles. They were individuals who, by God's grace, had been provided an on-ramp into the family of God. Earlier this semester, we considered how Jesus, as a result of the fact that he fulfilled all of the Old Testament laws and ordinances, opened up a door through which all people, all Gentiles, could gain access into the family and the kingdom of God. The Galatians to whom Paul wrote were placed on the road to life when the Holy Spirit brought them to faith in Jesus, to an understanding that he is, as we considered, the one way to eternal life. They have been brought to recognize that the Son of God is the Lamb of God, the one through whom alone we gain access to the Father. It didn't take very long, however, for many of those Galatians to become misguided by some spiritual enemies who were doing all that they could to get those Gentile Christians back off of the road that leads to life. And so the Apostle Paul was inspired to write an urgent letter in which he stated, "We, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." In these verses, Paul was speaking about being justified, one of those Bible terms that's directly linked to our salvation. To be justified means to be declared righteous, or flipped around, it means to be declared guiltless. And being justified, being declared guilt-free, is so important because a person can enter eternal life only if he or she is completely without guilt. Being guilty blocks one's way to paradise. That's holy ground. You can't get in with even one sin. The Apostle John got a glimpse. "I looked," he said, "and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having their father's name written on their foreheads. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God." In order to enjoy fullness of life in the presence of God himself, we need to be perfectly righteous. The record of our actions must be absolutely flawless. As we dash toward eternity, therefore, the big concern needs to be, how might one stand before God without any guilt? And it's in connection with this concern that the Lord has an important road sign for us, so to speak, a sign which is needed so that the devil doesn't deceive us into destruction. He sees that we Gentiles have been given access to the road that leads to life, and he doesn't like it. And so, he has done something demonic. He has created off-ramps from the road of life in the hope of getting us back off that road, and he was quite successful with some of the Christians in those Galatian congregations. Paul wrote, "I am astonished that so soon you are removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ." And later he called them foolish Galatians. He called them fools. Not with the playful tone that is sometimes used on this first day of April, but with deep seriousness and great concern. For some of those Gentiles who had been brought to the way of life were quickly veering off toward destruction. Consequently, in terms of highway signs, Paul began his letter with a big wrong way sign. I'm assuming you've seen this sign on roads. And there are a couple things that are really interesting about the use of this sign, I think. One of those interesting things is its placement, its location. The highway department could, of course, position this sign on any road in the opposite direction, going the opposite direction, but it tends to reserve it, from my observation, to locations where it looks like that's the right way to go. There's something about that road or that avenue that looks correct, like that's where I should be going. And that's where the highway department has to put it, this, no, wrong way. You're going to be driving right into oncoming traffic. The other thing that's interesting about this sign is that, unlike a lot of other signs on the road, which merely have symbols on them, this is extraordinarily direct. A symbol might take a moment or two to kind of figure out and analyze. But this particular sign, they just spell it out. They just tell the driver, wrong way. You're going in the direction of oncoming traffic. You're about to experience a terrible collision. Stop, go back, no. So what is the disastrous detour that the devil has devised? And it was Paul was so concerned about when he wrote to the Galatian Christians. It was the route of work righteousness. The devil used some people in Galatia called Judaizers. These were people who taught that our salvation is still up to us, at least in part. They didn't necessarily deny Jesus. They probably didn't even deny that he is the one way, at least the one who did much to contribute to our salvation. But they did teach that if you wanted to be saved, you still had to add to what Jesus had done with some good works of your own, some level of fulfillment of certain laws. This particular lie of the devil is so deadly because that's what our old Adam thinks anyway. Our old nature is embedded with this idea that our relationship with God is determined on our actions or lack thereof, that we somehow are required still to measure up if we are to expect to have any claim on eternal life. And so when the devil points us to the idea that we're saved, at least in part, by efforts of our own or by the keeping of certain commands, it's very believable. But that's also very deadly. It looks like the right way, but it isn't. And that's why the Lord sent Paul with this wrong way wording. He declares, by works of the law, no one will be justified. The Galatians were being enticed onto this destructive detour of believing that God demands that we still need to fulfill certain commandments in order to be saved. But it is impossible for us to live in perfect conformity to the law. Our sins have shattered any possibility of measuring up to the extraordinarily high standards that God's law demands. But that doesn't mean we need to despair. Justification has been provided. And how are we justified? How is it that we are declared guiltless? Through the judicial decree which God made on account of his Son. Paul declares that a man is not justified, he's not declared guilt-free by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. The "it" of "it is finished" was the fulfillment of the law that we couldn't begin to fulfill properly. And it was the payment for our sin that we were not able to pay. Jesus, we're told, was handed over for our offenses and raised again for our justification. When Jesus rose from the dead on Easter morning, the gavel in the courtroom of heaven went down with the decree that his payment on our behalf was accepted and we are free to go. All the way to glory. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, Paul decrees, you will be saved. Paul announced God's work has left us completely cleared of guilt. His righteous life, Christ's righteous life, has been credited to our account, which means that the goal of glory is completely free through faith in him. So don't be fooled. On April 1st, or on any other day. Some of the Galatians who had been brought to faith in Christ were foolishly allowing themselves to slip back into the notion that their salvation in part rested on their ability to fulfill certain commands. Fortunately, Paul redirected that thinking and directed it again to the complete fulfillment of the law and full justification which is found solely in Jesus. Jesus, the good way, the right way, the saving way, of whom we sing in hymn 555, stanzas 1 and 6. Hymn 555, 1 and 6.